Became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Tell me about his background. I want us to look at Jesus' background here. I know no better place to look than, to begin to look at least, into Jesus' background than to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I want us just to read that. Could we read that out loud there? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now that says a lot, doesn't it? It says a lot about Jesus' background, where he came from, who he really was. And I want you to just think this morning about his essence, about his essence. Who is this Jesus? Is he just a man? Is he just a historical figure? Or is there more? These verses tell us about his eternity, don't they? It says, in the beginning was the Word. You can say, well, when was the beginning? Or ask, when was the beginning? Well, it certainly harks back to Genesis chapter 1. Does not the Bible begin with the phrase, in the beginning? So Jesus goes back at least that far. The beginning of all things that were created. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, it says that through him, all things were created. And it really says that here too. The Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. And then in verse 3, it says, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. I don't know if it could be more emphatic that Jesus is the Creator. It goes on and says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And of course, that Word was our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is eternal. He is the only one of whom it can truly be said that he lived before he was born. Now, some have the belief that we lived before we were born, but there's really no evidence of that in the Scripture. Certainly, reincarnation is not a scriptural doctrine. We just were born. We were created at the time that we were actually conceived, according to the book of Psalms. But so we didn't exist before we were born. But Jesus, if you look in eternity past, as far as you can see, Jesus is there. That's his essence, his eternity. And these verses also speak of his deity, because it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, I don't know how the Bible could be more emphatic than that. Well, I remember when I first became a Christian, I saw a book, I think it was written by John R. Rice, who is a very conservative, most would say almost obnoxious, in his fundamentalism. A lot of people didn't agree with some of his very strictness in the sense, almost like a Pharisee, some thought. But I liked the title of the book. It was the question, is Jesus God? Is Jesus God? I think a lot of people wonder that. Most people say, well, I don't know. I know that he was sent from God. I know that he lived a holy life, that he died on a cross, that there's this belief in his resurrection. But do they believe, do you believe that Jesus is God? This is what the Bible says. Some would say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, I differ with that. I believe he did. But he didn't go around saying, I am God, I am God. You know, fall down and worship me. That wasn't the Jesus that we know. But he did claim to be the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed. But he preferred more to identify with our humanity. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, out of the ivory palaces. And I think that the ivory palaces is where Jesus was before he was born. In the heavens, heavenlies. He was eternally with God. And God himself, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And is God, of course. If he was, he is, and ever shall be. So it speaks of his eternity here, his deity, his humanity. But also, we're not only told of his essence, we're told of his excellence. If we could look there at those verses, could you read it with me? In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. I'd like for us to think here about his life. In him was life. In him was life. Oh boy, that's an understatement. In fact, the Bible goes on and describes how Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We've already been told that He's the source of life. He's the Creator. Through Him, God created all things. And He is God, of course. But also, we're told about His life. It says that that life was the light of men. Have you ever studied the life of someone that you greatly admire? For example, we came from the great state of Illinois, a great state to be from. But in that state, there was a lot of history taught about Lincoln, of course. I'm sure you all know that he was from Illinois, not born there, but that was his home, and he worked there and lived there for many years before he was finally elected president and became arguably our greatest president. Well, in my schooling and just in a lot of interest that I have, I've studied some about the life of Lincoln and about others of our presidents, others of our leaders. We want to know something about the life of people. Some of you may be into the Hollywood set, and so you read all about the gossip. Well, that's not a good way to learn about the life. That's a good way to learn about things that aren't true. But here is a true story of the life of lives, the greatest life ever lived, the life of the one who changed the whole course of the world. I think it's why we worship on Sunday. Now, I wouldn't be argumentative about it and say, oh, you know, you shouldn't worship any other time of the week. But it's because of the resurrection. When Jesus rose again from the dead, everything changed. Nothing has ever been in the same since. And we ought to know, we ought to want to learn as much as we can about this life of this one Jesus. And His light, here it says, that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who comes to me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And first of all, He wants to bring that light into our life. If we feel like we are enveloped in darkness, or the darkness is enveloping around us, then maybe we have not come to the light. And the light of the world, of course, is the only light. The source of all light is Jesus. So may we let His light shine in our hearts. May we let that light shine out to others. And at the Christmas season, there's no better time. This is often called the season of light. Well, we ought to be sharing the light of the world, shouldn't we? And the light, the liberality. It's liberality. I want us to think about the liberality of Jesus. It says, that light shines upon all men. He came as a witness to the light. Speaking of John the Baptist, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now, if you're a woman, don't let that word man throw you. That means mankind. So it's not just talking about men. It's not even talking about adults. It's talking about people. Jesus wants to come into your life and give you light. He wants to bring that joy, that sense of well-being that we have when we are in a lighted place. I think it's why more suicides occur around the Christmas season than any other time of the year. Now, I think part of that is that there's more loneliness at the Christmas season than in other times of the year. People who may not have a family near them at least, may just feel an overwhelming sense of loneliness at this time. But I think it's also because we have less light, because the sun is very low in the northern hemisphere. So we need that light. We need that liberality. We need to know that Jesus came for us, that every man, it says, the true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world. If you feel a sense of darkness in your life, then perhaps you have not come to Jesus, the light of the world. Let Him into your life. Don't think that He doesn't care for you, because here it says every. And that's a little like John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But also, not only do these verses tell us about the essence of Jesus in thinking about His background, but they also tell us about His excellence. Thirdly, they tell us about His entrance. His entrance. Of course, I'm speaking of His coming into the world. Here it says that true light that lights every man was coming into the world. Would you read that with me, the scripture there? He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. The Word became flesh. We have seen his glory. Now that's just kind of a summation. I hope that you have your Bibles open, or that you can look at this sometime today and kind of study this scripture passage, John 1, 1 through 14. But here it speaks of his entrance into the world. It speaks of his revelation. God sent his Son, I think, certainly to show us what he is like, what kind of a God he is, that he's not a God who just created this world and set it in motion and then just retired to some far corner of the universe, never again to have any connection with it. There was a philosopher by the name of Spinoza who had that view. But it tells us about his revelation, how God became flesh. The Word became flesh. God wanted us to know what he is like. So he sent his Son. But that was only part of it. He sent his Son to die for us on an old rugged cross, because we were not good enough to pay the debt of our own sin. God, in his economy, required a perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice was his own dear Son. And so there's the revelation of Jesus here, the revelation of God in Jesus. But it also speaks here of his rejection. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. I think that was the thing that hurt the heart of Jesus more than anything else. Some of you may have someone in your family who has rejected you for some reason or another. And it's not for a lack of love on your part. It's not for a lack of caring for that individual. But they have just chosen to reject you. I don't know that there's anything harder. I'm thankful I haven't had that experience, but some of you have. I had a few ingrate children, as we all have. But rejection, that's hard to deal with, isn't it? We've all experienced rejection of some kind, I'm sure. We feel like we're not understood, we're not valued. Some of you have had a feeling of rejection since you were children. Well, realize that Jesus knows how you feel. Here it says he came to his own. Now, I think that's speaking specifically of his own Jewish nation. Now, Jesus was Jewish, of course. He was of the tribe of Judah, son of David, a descendant of David. But I think it's speaking of his humanity as well. He came to us, and his own did not receive him. It hurts the heart of Jesus, who is God. It hurts the heart of Jesus when you reject him, if you have. And maybe you can, or would say, I haven't rejected him, I just haven't received him. Well, it's really the same thing. If you haven't received him and you know that he came for you, it hurts him if you have not received him. But it says here, but as many, in verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. I just want to encourage you to get to know this Jesus. Maybe you can say in your life that maybe you've always believed in God. You've always believed there was a God. You always even believed that God sent Jesus. Maybe you believe that he sent him to be a Savior. But let me ask you, is he your Savior? Have you made a personal decision to invite him into your life?